It's good to be with you this morning. Hey, let's look to the Lord in prayer before we look into His Word. Father, we thank You so much for this Christmas season and all that we are reminded of this time of year. The great gift that You gave of our Lord Jesus Christ. That great gift of love, of joy, of peace, and hope. Father, today I pray that as we look into Your Word, that You would use this time to grow us closer to You, deeper in our appreciation of all that You have done for us. I pray that You would speak through me unhindered, and that You would speak to all of our hearts unhindered today. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Christmas has passed, so let me ask you that question. Did you get everything you wanted?
Yeah.
You know, every year I give my mother one gift when she asks me what I want that she can't deliver. She says, "What would you like for Christmas?" And I always say, "World peace." So it hasn't happened yet. We know that it will one day happen under the reign of Christ, but not now, right? So there was a little boy, though, who once wanted a watch very badly for Christmas. And each day the boy asked about his watch. He said, "Dad, can I please have a watch? Mom, I really want a watch." Every time he opened his mouth, he was asking again and again for it and talking about that watch for Christmas. Well, finally, his father told him the one day that if he mentioned the watch one more time, he surely wouldn't be getting one for Christmas. So the boy kept quiet about his present until that night at supper. Every night before supper, some member of the family repeated a Bible verse before asking the blessing for the meal that night. And the boy was eager to share the verse that he had memorized that day. So just before they prayed, he recited Mark 13:37. "And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Well, according to a survey by the Roper Organization, 68% of Americans open presents each year. But what they don't know is whether or not you got everything you wanted for Christmas. What if, whether or not you did get everything you wanted, I offered you some Christmas presents that you can have right here, right now, even these 5 days after Christmas? No, I don't have smartphones or jewelry or toys to offer you, but there are some Christmas gifts that are available to us all the time. Some gifts that are available because of Christmas to us all the time. In verses 10 to 14, we find these three gifts that God gave us through the birth of Christ. But I'm going to read the passage again of the Christmas account from Luke chapter 2, and see if you can find those gifts as I read that beginning in verse 1. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased.' When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in their heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. So we'd like to look at these three gifts that we find in this passage this morning here in Luke 2. Three gifts that are ours through this first Christmas. The first is freedom from fear. Freedom from fear. The angel said, "Do not be afraid." You know, when you think about it, everybody's scared of something, but we're not all scared of the same things. A recent survey asked people to list their number one fear. The fear of death, believe it or not, I thought that would have been first, but it was number seven. What was the number one fear? Speaking before an audience. Some fears are easy to cure. If you're scared to fly, you can stay on the ground. Afraid of snakes? Well, they're pretty easy to avoid if you really try. But other fears you must face. For instance, being afraid of the future won't stop the future from happening. Fear of losing those you love won't allow you to hold on to them any longer. So how do you handle those kind of fears? When the angel says, "Do not be afraid," he's also saying that through the baby in the manger, God offers you the gift of freedom from fear. What fear does Christ offer us freedom from? Let's look at two of them. First, the fear of the future. Worry is another word for fear of the future. Worrying is being afraid of what might happen or what we are convinced will happen. Of course, nobody but God knows truly what will happen, but that doesn't keep us from speculating and many times expecting the worst. How will I handle what will happen? What if it's too much for me to handle? What if I fail? What if I lose what I have? What if I lose those I love? How can I face it? The baby in Bethlehem's manger grew up to be a man who promised us freedom from the fear of the future. For instance, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, he said, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, nor what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" And then in verses 32 to 34 of that same passage, he said, "For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. The same God who watches out for the rest of creation keeps a close eye on us too. God's love for us is a love that frees us from fear by giving us confidence that God can take care of all of our tomorrows. And that includes another fear that he offers us freedom from, and that's the fear of death. Death for many is the ultimate unknown fear. Fear rises up in the minds of some when they lose a loved one to death. It can raise its ugly head when we think about taking our last breath, closing our eyes the last time on earth. That kind of fear often fuels our grief. Will I ever really see my loved one again? What will happen to me when I die? Jesus met that kind of fear in John chapter 11, when two sisters, Martha and Mary, lost their brother Lazarus. But Jesus offered them the gift of freedom from the fear of death there in John 11, in verses 25 and 26, when he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Jesus said to them, and he says to us, "You don't need to fear death if you believe in me. Because death isn't the end of life. It is the beginning of everlasting life. On the other side of death's door," he said, "I am there, ready to welcome you into that life that never ends." In John 14:3, he said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Believing in Christ can make you free of the fear of the future and the fear of death. You can open that gift right now if you believe in Him. The joy of salvation is the next gift that we see there. Freedom from fear and then the joy of salvation. He said, the angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know, Christmas is supposed to be a season of joy, but joy is not always easy to come by, even at Christmas. Why is it so hard to be happy? Why do good times never seem to last? Why is it that sometimes it seems like every bright day is followed by dark clouds? Because the world is infected with a deadly virus. A deadly virus called sin. Sin mars every beautiful thing in this world. It puts black marks on your record. That stain of guilt on your conscience. Sin is what ruins this world. What robs you of the joy you could have if only there were some way to cure the world, to cure our hearts of that dark disease of sin, of selfishness, pride, and rebellion against God. Well, the angel announces that the birth of this baby will bring great joy because this baby will be the cure we're looking for. He is the Savior who will bring back to us a genuine joy because He will save us from our sins. Another angel had announced regarding Mary in Matthew 1:21, and she will bring forth a son and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. We've heard those words so much that many times they don't register with us that joy that they should. But when the Jews in that day heard those words, it's likely that their hearts skipped a beat with joy. They had been looking for a Savior for a long time. Someone who would rescue them from their enemies. They had hoped for the Lord to return and reign over them. For centuries, they've been looking for this. To dethrone the ungodly outsiders who ruled over them with an iron fist. Could this baby be the one? Could he really be our Savior and Lord? That would be something to get excited about. That would truly be good news of great joy for the hearers of that day, but is great news to us as well. Verse 20 records that they went out to Bethlehem, found Jesus, and the shepherds were filled with joy after having seen him. We know the rest of the story. Eventually, Jesus does reveal himself as Savior, but not the kind of Savior they expected. He did not come to rescue them from Rome, but to rescue them from sin. He'd not come to dethrone Caesar, but to set up God's kingdom in the lives of those who believed in him. And many of his own rejected him. But there were some who discovered the truth that Jesus really was the Savior. In John 1, beginning in verse 10, it says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In John 1:10-13. Jesus brought with him the gift of acceptance and adoption by God. The joy of being forgiven of sin. The joy of receiving a brand new start in life. The joy of belonging to the family of God. He offers us the wonderful gift of joy that comes from being cured of the disease of sin. There was once a group of prospectors. They set out from Bannock, Montana in search of gold. Along their way, they went through many hardships, and several of their little company died along the way. Defeated, discouraged, and downhearted, the prospectors headed back to the city. As they tethered out their limping ponies on a creek side, one of the men casually picked up a little stone from the creek bed. He called his buddy to come over with a hammer. And upon cracking the rock, he says, "Looks as though there may be gold here." The two of them panned for gold the rest of the afternoon and managed to realize $12 worth. Well, the entire little company panned gold the next day in the same creek, and they realized $50, a great sum in those days. They said to one another, "We've struck it rich." But they needed more equipment, supplies to finish mining for the gold. So they saddled up and headed back to Bannock, vowing not to breathe a word to anybody about this gold strike. They secretly set about re-equipping themselves with supplies for another prospecting trip. When they got ready to go back, they were surprised to find 300 men following them. Who had told them? Not one of them. The writer of the book said, "Their beaming faces betrayed their secret." Their beaming faces. You can't keep joy a secret. If you have joy, it shows. Do you have joy today? You can if you open the gift of God's salvation through Christ. You don't have to carry your guilt. You can experience the joy of forgiveness for any and all of your sins. You can start all over with a clean slate before God. You can truly know the joy of being born again. You can experience the joy of belonging to the family of God. That's the good news of the gospel in a nutshell. You don't have to wait. You can open that Christmas present of joy right now through faith in Christ. Are you ready to open your gift from God? Well, the angels offered us one more gift from God, and that was perpetual peace. The angels said, "Glory to God, peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Christmas is a strange time of year. We sing "Sleep in Heavenly Peace," but Christmas is often the least peaceful time of the year. Wars are still fought around the globe, but they're also fought in the mall, at the school, and sadly, even at times in families. The one time when God promises us peace is still one of the most stressful times of the year. And yet this angel promises peace on earth. Peace between God and man. The baby born in Bethlehem says he will offer you peace that never ends. Some here this morning might be thinking, "Wow, yeah, that'll be the day." And yet that gift of peace is available to you right now. That peace is not necessarily a change in your circumstances, but a calm that can fill your mind and heart even during the worst storm. A contentment that poverty or plenty cannot take away. A sense that God is in control no matter what is going on around you. That kind of peace is not something you work up. It's not something you earn. It is a gift of God, a gift that he offers today, bound up in the birth of Christ. Isaiah called Jesus the Prince of Peace, and Paul told us in Romans 5:1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Because of Jesus, I can know, and you can know, that everything is all right between God and us. I don't have to worry if he loves me, if he's going to kick me out of his family. Through my faith in Christ, I have peace with God. You can not only have peace with God, you can have the peace of God that comes through faith. In Philippians 4:6-7, Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Prayer is a surefire prescription for peace. When anything threatens to steal your peace, take it to God. Leave it with him, and he gives you his peace so that your heart can be guarded. Your mind can be guarded. You have that peace because Jesus gives it to you. He doesn't promise that your peace won't be threatened, but he does promise that if you will trust him, he will give you perpetual peace that nothing can take away. And John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus didn't promise peace and quiet, but he does promise peace no matter how noisy or chaotic life becomes around you. Maybe you need to unwrap that peace for yourself today. Maybe you're not sure if you're at peace with God today. If not, accept that peace that he offered through Christ. He gave the gift of peace when he gave his son. All you have to do is accept that gift. Dr. James Dobson relates the story of an elderly woman named Stella Thornhope, who was struggling with her first Christmas alone. Her husband had died just a few months prior after an illness. Now, several days before Christmas, she felt terribly alone, so much so that she decided she wasn't going to decorate for Christmas this year. Late that afternoon, the doorbell rang, and there was a delivery boy there that met her at the door with a box. He said, "Mrs. Thornhope?" And she nodded. He said, "Would you sign here?" As she signed the paper that he presented her, she asked, "What's in the box?" The young man laughed and opened up the flap, and inside that box was a little puppy. The delivery boy picked up the squirming pup and explained, "This is for you, ma'am. He's 6 weeks old and completely housebroken." The young puppy began to wiggle in happiness at being released from captivity. "Who sent this?" Mrs. Thornhope asked. The young man set the animal down and handed her an envelope and said, "It's all explained here in this envelope, ma'am. The dog was bought last July while its mother was still pregnant. It was meant to be a Christmas gift for you." In desperation, she asked again, "Who sent me this puppy?" As the young man turned to leave, he said, "Your husband, ma'am. Merry Christmas." She opened up the letter from her husband. He had written it 3 weeks before he died and left it with the kennel owners to be delivered with the puppy as his last Christmas gift to her. The letter was full of love and encouragement and admonishment to be strong. He vowed he was waiting for the day when she would join him. And he sent her this young puppy to keep her company until then. She wiped away her tears, put the letter down, and then, remembering the puppy at her feet, she picked up that golden furry ball and held it to her neck. Then she looked out the window at the lights that outlined her neighbor's house, and she heard from the radio in the kitchen the strains of "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." Suddenly, Stella felt the most amazing sense of peace washing over her. Her heart felt a joy and a wonder greater than the grief and loneliness that she had felt. "Little fellow," she said to the dog, "it's just you and me. But you know what? There's a box down in the basement. I'll bet you'd like it. It's got a little Christmas tree in it and some decorations and some lights. And there's a manger scene down there. Let's go get it." God sent his son to be born in Bethlehem to give you some special gifts: freedom from fear, the joy of salvation, and peace that lasts. Today, you can hold out your empty hands, and he will fill them with these gifts. Won't you receive these gifts that he offers through Christ today? Father, we thank you so much for the amazing gifts of Christmas. We thank you for the freedom of fear that you offer, the joy of salvation that you've given, and the peace that you've given, that peace that truly lasts no matter what is going on around us. Today, Father, I pray that if there's anybody here who's not yet accepted those gifts that come through Christ, who's not yet accepted the great salvation that he offers, that today would be the day they would accept that gift. Father, for those of us who know Christ, may we be reminded again of these great gifts. May we be reminded of the joy and the peace and the freedom that we have in Christ today. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.